We have come to believe and know that you truly are the living, eternal God who has saved us. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What a blessing to be together. As you're standing, we'd ask you to open your Bibles. We have Bibles up here and in back. And we want to open up to Acts chapter 19 right now. Acts chapter 19. And we want to talk about the Holy Spirit today. In Acts chapter 19, the Bible says, starting in verse 1, Acts 19, 1, the Bible states, "And then it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Then into what were you baptized?' And they answered him, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus.' And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, they prophesied. And now the men that were there were about 12 in number. And all God's people said, amen." You may be seated. Thank you so much. So many of you prayed this week. I had the opportunity to be at one of our local high schools on 2 days. They have questions and answers regarding relationships, and I've been given the privilege, and I consider it a privilege, over the last 14 years to be there on each semester. And the students have prepared questions they ask regarding relationships and how does God answer that according to the Bible. So it was a great joy and a great privilege to be there. I hand out a survey. As the class begins, there's a list, a menu list of what they might consider to be priorities for their future. And two of the top three priorities would be to have one spouse for life. And also a second priority would be to have a right relationship with God. Isn't that amazing? In the public school. So God has put eternity in all of our hearts. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're at. I will say boldly to you, and God would say to me as well, he loves you. God loves you right now. And you may think, well, he wants to love me, but based on how I am or how I'm acting or what I'm doing, I'm not giving him much reason to love me. I want to affirm right now, his love for you is not based on what you did or do or haven't done. God is love. And in him, there's no darkness at all. Starting this message off, starting it off right now very strongly, that you are loved by God. You are loved by God. Nothing will change that. Nothing. Throughout all eternity, it doesn't matter if somebody spends eternity in heaven or eternity in hell, God still is love. And perhaps some of the greatest torment of hell is knowing that you were loved by God and you rejected his love. That would be torment for all eternity. God loves you. Not only does he love you, here's the other part. He demonstrated his love by dying for our sins. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He died for us. And he offers forgiveness. It's an offer. He offers the whole world forgiveness. And it's up to you individually to say, I want to receive his forgiveness. He's offering it. It's a free gift, but you have to receive that free gift. I pray right now, if there's anybody here and you're in that place and you hear this, and maybe you've heard it many times before, but maybe today and maybe right now, you say, that's the gift I want to receive. I need his forgiveness. Maybe you've been walking with God for many years, and your life is out of balance. It's out of balance. The Lord isn't really leading your life. Ask Him right now, forgive me, God. I want to be right with you. Amen. Of the over 70 questions that were asked, one of them, students asked, when is the best time for me to sleep with my boyfriend? And so, again, I depend upon the Holy Spirit completely, but I have the biblical truth, and I say, after you say your vows to one another and you say I do, it's a perfect time. But, you know, in that answer, not to be cavalier, but to give a reason, God knows. He's watching out. He's protecting you, protecting your heart and your future as well. When we're looking at the scriptures this morning, and we saw chapter 19, and we see the first seven verses, and we understand, and I also have in your bulletins, I believe, you don't have to look at it right now necessarily, but I put together again a color portrait of what that missionary journey's like. When Paul is in Ephesus today, listen, today it's Turkey. So this church in Ephesus, if we looked at a map today, it would be Turkey. In the book of Revelation, there are seven churches that Jesus speaks to in the book of Revelation. It starts with the church at Ephesus, and it goes around and ends at the church of Laodicea, seven churches. All of those churches are in Turkey. They're established. This mission work going on established those churches. Today, just as we heard from Doug regarding the hostility in North Korea regarding Christians, the hostility today in Turkey is driving all Christian influence, killing Christians, destroying the Christian work and ministry today in Turkey. So this is this place, Ephesus, that is there. Now on Paul's second missionary journey, he did arrive in Ephesus prior to going back to Jerusalem and finishing at his home church in Antioch. He was in Ephesus. He was in Ephesus and in the synagogue. And listen, in the synagogue, they made a request of him that he hadn't heard on his missionary trips. They said, Paul, we love what you're doing. Stay with us. He was driven out of all the other places. Finally, we love what you're saying about Jesus the Christ. Stay with us and minister to us. And he says, I got to go. Paul, you finally get to stay and you have to go. He says, I have to go to Jerusalem. He was going to celebrate the feast, probably Passover. He was making an offering for a vow he had taken. He's going back up to Antioch. And in chapter 18, he begins his third missionary journey, again, moving in the upper region and then dropping down to, Ephesus. And that's where we're at. So he's in Ephesus. Aquila and Priscilla stayed there. We know Apollos was there, and he went back to Corinth. So Paul said, I want to return, and he's there. Earlier, on one of the earlier mission trips, he wanted to go to Ephesus, and the Holy Spirit said, no, you're going to go over to across the water over to Philippi. So God is at work. So Paul now, we're on the third mission trip, and what city is he in? Ephesus. What city is he in? Ephesus. Okay, this is where he's at. Now, when he arrives there, this is so important. When he's there at this church, he's looking at what is called disciples. Look at your text. It says, in finding some disciples, do you see that in 19 verse 1? He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we have not even so much heard about the Holy Spirit. So let's walk through this together. Because this particular text has a lot of different opinions from different well-meaning believers in this text. And we're not backing off, we're not shy, we move forward with what God's word said. So what do we see? We see that Paul arrives at this church in Ephesus, and he noticed that something's lacking. He's wondering about the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. He notices something is missing, something's lacking, and he asked regarding the Holy Spirit. We don't know what he did not see that he was expecting to see. We don't know that to be true. Now, here's what happens. You have some Bible teachers, and again, I believe all are followers of Christ, but there's different opinions. So we approach him. We move forward with this. We're not bashful. We're not shy. We're confident in God and his word. So depending on what your understanding is of the Holy Spirit is how you may interpret these particular verses. I'm not going to lose anybody. Stay with me. Some people will say that these people, these disciples, were not saved at all. They needed to get saved, and they needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God as a result of being saved, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And others would say they are saved, they just have yet to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life as believers. So those are the two views on this text. Okay, Pastor, where are you at on this? So in studying this, the word disciple that you see used there, the word disciple used in the book of Acts is always used regarding a follower of Jesus Christ. And then also the word believe in the text, these disciples believe, it's the same word believe that's used in John 3:16. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believed. So believed used in 3:16 is the same usage of the word believe there. However, the Bible tells us in Romans, and if you were in Romans chapter 8, so to the right just a moment there in your Bible text, in Romans chapter 8, speaking about the Holy Spirit of God, it tells us in verse 9, but if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And so either you're saved and you haven't experienced the Holy Spirit, or you're not saved and you need to get saved. That's the text. That's the outcome. So how do you proceed with this? When I look at this specifically and say, okay, where are we at with this? Here's the problem. Paul is looking at a church and he says, there's something missing. That's the problem. Something's missing. The presence of God, the power of God, the working of the Holy Spirit, something is missing. That's what we want to address. So if somebody has yet to come to Jesus Christ, they need to come to Christ, ask for his forgiveness, and be saved or be regenerated. That's the word. Because it tells us for every believer in Ephesians 1:13-14, in him you also trusted, having heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who's the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You're not your own. So we can never pray, God, let me receive your Holy Spirit. As a believer, you already have his Holy Spirit. Every born-again believer, at the moment of being saved, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. At that very moment, the Holy Spirit lives within you. It's a seal from God that you're saved. Amen? So you're saved, and the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. It's proof you're saved. The Holy Spirit convicted of you of your sin, directed you towards Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You accepted Christ as your Savior. Back in our text, when they state, these disciples stated, and we don't know because Apollos was there previously. And remember, Apollos only brought them as far as John the Baptist. He didn't know about the cross of Christ. So Priscilla and Aquila communicated to Apollos, wait a minute, Apollos, you are bringing forth a message about Jesus, about the Messiah, but don't you know? Apollos, he came already. You're quoting out of the Old Testament. You're strong in your speech. You're accurate in your scriptures. Your presentation is absolutely right, but he's come. And they explain more accurately. Jesus came. He lived. John the Baptist saw him. John the Baptist baptized him. He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross. He rose again from the dead. He had presented himself alive. He ascended into heaven on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after his resurrection. The Holy Spirit was poured out and the church was born, and we're bringing the gospel around the world. And Apollos, I mean, he must just jump for joy. He was in Ephesus. And with this good news in Ephesus, he went to Corinth. And when he went to Corinth, he went with letters from the leadership saying, Apollos is ready to bring the word and serve God in Corinth and to build up the saints there. Paul said, I've come to strengthen the saints. I've come to strengthen the saints. How are you weak in your walk right now? How are you weak? How are you weak spiritually? How is the church weak? How is this church weak? What is missing in our life? What is missing in your life? What is it? Some will say, wait a minute, Pastor, just stop right there. The Bible says that we are complete in Christ. Absolutely. Totally. Agree. I can't get any more saved than I am saved. I can't get any more righteous because he's declared me righteous. Absolutely true. Amen? However, my friends, however, the Lord is leading our lives. And the Lord wants us, he's chosen us, he's chosen you as his child to communicate to others his death, burial, and resurrection. He chose you to bring forth the gospel. He's chose you to serve him. And you cannot, and I cannot, serve him in my own strength. The very work of the Spirit of God that convicted me of sin, that led me to Jesus, that provided salvation for my soul, that provided the assurance of heaven, it's not any work that I have done. There's nothing I can boast about. It is all Jesus. It is all his work, completely his. He who began a good work is faithful to complete it. He gives us the privilege of serving him, but we must serve him in the power and the strength of his Holy Spirit. And that's what wants to be made known when we're looking at this. As a matter of fact, when we look at the book of Acts and we see how it all started, we see that in before Acts and in John chapter 20, Jesus, after his death, burial, and resurrection, he meets with his disciples in John 20. And it says in John 20, 21 and 23, so Jesus said, peace to you, as my Father has sent me, I also send you. So he's saying, I've got work. I'm going to send you. This is in his resurrected body. He's conquered death. And he said to them, he breathed on them, and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain, they are retained. Receive the Holy Spirit. Could they have received the Holy Spirit if they weren't saved? No, they were saved. Receive the Holy Spirit. But he says in Acts 1:8, or in Luke 24, verses 45 through 49, he tells you, behold, again to his disciples, before his ascension, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So they receive the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you. It's going to happen. It's going to be in Jerusalem. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be my witnesses. So these are people that have a born-again relationship with God through Jesus Christ. After his death, burial, and resurrection, he meets with them. He breathes on them. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. He says, you're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which they were. It tells us they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 39, for those, again, There's a lot of believers that have a lot of different positions, beliefs, even debates on these matters. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to do what the Lord has asked us to do. You cannot do it on your own strength. That power of the Holy Spirit. You say, that power was given when I was saved and the Holy Spirit came and dwelled within, and it's a seal and proof that it's there and I don't need anything more. I would say to those that have that position, I would allow them to hold whatever position they want in that, but I would just override it saying, regardless of your position, I've seen God graciously pour out His Spirit generously in your life, even though you hold that position, because that's how God works. We need that strength. Listen, Paul on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, he hates Christians, he hates the church, he's going to take them all out, he's got papers and document to destroy the church, he's already killed Christians and he's making havoc, right? On the road to Damascus, he is knocked down, a light from heaven. Paul, why are you persecuting me, Jesus speaking? Why are you kicking against me, Jesus speaking? Paul goes blind, they take him into a city, he's waiting there blind. Ananias comes, Jesus says, go pray for him. He's my servant. He's my vessel. Go pray for him. Ananias comes. And remember, when Paul was knocked down, he says, what do you want me to do, Lord? You can't call Jesus Lord unless the Spirit of God has allowed you to do that. He calls him Lord. Ananias comes into the room. And he says, Brother Saul. He says, Brother Saul, because he is a believer. And he says, I'm here to pray for you and for the Holy Spirit to empower you, to come upon you. My friends, the Holy Spirit lives within us, but we need His continual, ongoing strength. We need His continual empowerment within our lives to do the things that He's asked us to do, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why are people resistant to this message? Because of all the strange, bizarre behavior that the Holy Spirit gets blamed for. That's why. Bizarre things in the name of the Holy Spirit. He's not even present. You're present and you're filled with chaos and commotion and everything else. Listen, were they filled on the day of Pentecost? Yes. Acts chapter 4, it tells us in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, I thought he was filled. Yeah, he was, but he's got work to do. He's filled. 4:31, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 5:32, the Holy Spirit whom God had given to them, to those who obey. Acts 6:5, you're talking about Stephen. He's a man chosen. He's full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Acts 8:15, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. We see in Acts 10:45, the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Who can forbid water that these should not be baptized who've received the Holy Spirit? In Galatians, it tells us that God began a work in us through His Spirit. Can we agree with that? He began that work through the Spirit. And He's asking in a question, why do you want to continue that work in your flesh? He began in the Spirit. It must continue in the Spirit. Well, what is then? What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? What was missing? What is lacking? Paul doesn't state. But what's the evidence of the Holy Spirit? Running around the church 10 times with flags? And no. What is the evidence of the Holy Spirit? It's love. The evidence of the Holy Spirit is love. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. But it comes under the Roman numeral heading. Roman numeral 1, the heading is love. Underneath love is all your A, B, C, D's, E, F, G. Patience is an act of love. Love. If you're patient, you're a very loving person. If you're kind, you're very loving. The Roman numeral one, the fruit and the evidence of the Holy Spirit is love. It's the love of God. It's the love of God in your life. And you think about what's going on. And you look at your own life. And you say in your own life, what is missing? Why am I mad? Why am I frustrated? Why am I at war with my family? Why is all these things that are going on? Why does the Christian life frustrate you? Why isn't there any time to serve? Why isn't there, what's going on? Look at the church. What's happening? But you have to come back and say, well, wait a minute. What's going on in my life? What's going on in my life? What's going on in my relationship with God and with the Lord? What's happened? There was a time that it was very sweet. There was a time where I sensed the overwhelming love of God. There was a time where I was really hungry for God's word. There was a time that I really prayed. There was a time. But what's happened? And Paul looks at the church and says something's missing. And maybe God is looking at our life right now or looking at our church. And maybe he's saying, I wonder what's missing. What's happened? Is there a lack of spiritual power? Do you feel that there's a lack of spiritual strength? Are you continuing in the same sin continually without repentance, without brokenness, without sorrow? Are you living a lifestyle that more represents you and not Jesus? Would you say that your relation with God is lukewarm? These are all questions for us. I've experienced all that in my life. I've experienced great valleys. I've experienced time of rebellion towards God and to his word. I've experienced times of just powerless Christian living. But I've experienced the other as well. The question is how does this happen? The question is, how does this experience with the Holy Spirit happen? Jesus is the one that has the best answer. Matthew, Mark, Luke, the Gospel of Luke, worth looking, turning to Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus is speaking. He says in Luke 11:9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So Jesus is saying, I want to have a relation with you. I want you to know how much I care for you. You're my child now. You're born again. You have my spirit living within you. We're going to spend eternity together. There's no sin that you've committed that I haven't forgiven with the blood of the Lamb. And I'm wanting you not to be a prodigal. I'm wanting you to be somebody living for me and giving me glory with your life. So come to me. He extends. Come. Ask. Come. Be persistent. Knock. It's going to be open. Seek me. Seek what my will is for you. A lot of times, listen now, I've been around 40 years, 35 as a pastor. Listen, a lot of times, more popular now than ever before, people in their own way, in their own will, own determination, hey, I'm doing this now. Oh, really? I didn't realize that that was something you were even thinking about. Never heard about it. Never asked for prayer about it. Well, I'm just doing it. That's what the Holy Spirit showed me. And I'm tired of the Holy Spirit getting blamed for things that are contrary to the Holy Spirit. It's not the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is going to demonstrate love. The work, the Holy Spirit working is going to be an outpouring of love. Not of camouflaging rebellion and sanctifying it by just saying, because when someone says, well, the Holy Spirit showed me, that basically says, hands off, you have no business to speak into what I'm doing, because who's going to speak over the Holy Spirit? Come and seek, come and ask, come and knock. Look at verse 10. For everyone who asks, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find it. If you come to him and knock, he'll open it. God is saying, I'm with you. I'm for you. I know your future. I want to help you. Humble yourself and come to me and ask me and seek me and hear from me. I want to have a relationship with you, Jesus speaking. And he gives an illustration in verse 11. He knows us as parents. If a son asks for bread from a father, are you going to give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? The answers are obvious. Of course not. Whatever my son wants, whatever he's seeking, whatever your child is asking for, as a parent, you want to be there for him. You want to be there for them, right? You want to encourage them. You want to lead them in the way. You want to provide for them. And he's saying, that's your earthly relationship, but I'm your heavenly father. And no parent died for the sins of their children. So I'm your heavenly father, and I died for your sins, and I want to have a relationship with you. Come and ask. And then he says in verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Oh, is that how it works? I was just looking for a little button to push. Holy Spirit button. I want to get filled today. How did you get saved and how did I get saved? I asked Jesus for forgiveness. How'd that happen? It was in faith. I trusted him as my Savior, right? How can I live the Christian life? Can I live it with my determination, with my strength, with my pursuit, with my good ideas? No. I need God to help me. So I come to him in the same way, and I say, God, I'm making a mess of a lot of things. I thought I had some good intentions, and maybe they were, but I'm not finding much fruit in my life right now. I'm not finding much fruit in my life. A disciple of Jesus is one who loves God's word, according to John 8:31, I believe. Who loves others, according to John 13, he says, this is my disciple, if you have love for one another. And in John 15, my disciples bear fruit. So Jesus defines disciple as one who loves his word, a one who loves others, and a one who bears fruit. So I come to the Lord and I say, not in your word much. Definitely not as loving as you would want me to be. Been gnarly lately. And not much fruit. And the Lord loves to hear that. And I say, Lord, help me. I'm asking for your help. I'm asking for your help. And God loves to hear that. I'm asking. He says, will you seek me? I says, Lord, I need to. I'm going to take time reading about you. I'm going to open up the Word of God. I'm going to seek you. I'm not sure what I need to do. I'm knocking. I'm asking. These things are before me. I'm not sure. I've made so many decisions on my own in the past and just ask your blessing on it. Lord, I need your leading. I need your strength. I need your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit that lives within us. The Holy Spirit lives within you. The Holy Spirit tabernacles. The presence of God lives within you and within me. But I need to experience the power of his presence living in and through me. And how does that happen? Pretty much the way salvation happened. I was saved because I knew I was wrong in living selfishly for myself, and I asked for his forgiveness. And he graciously poured his love upon my life and forgave me. And it was a certainty on all of that. And he's saying, come to me, because you don't need to be saved again. That's done. And you don't need to pray for the Holy Spirit to live within you, because the Holy Spirit lives within you.
But you need to seek me and ask, because I will give you the power and strength you need. You're so full of yourself. I'd love for you to be emptied and for me, the presence and power of God, to fill this vessel so he can use this vessel for his glory. So I believe in that. I believe in a second blessing of the Holy Spirit and a third and a hundred and a thousand. I need all of God. I need all of God. And I'm sorry if in the past there's been mispresentation of the work in the Spirit of God. We need God, and we need the gifts of God. We need the power of God in our lives. The Holy Spirit is a dove, right? The Holy Spirit was represented as a dove. He's not represented as a duck. Quack, 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 and just... Because some people behave like he's a duck, he's a dove. And he's not a peacock, a different bird, strutting around and all proud. It's a dove, nor an ostrich with his head in the sand. He's a dove. He's the comforter. And he has this for us. He has the power and strength we need to live a life that glorifies him. And it's there if we ask him and say, God, I surrender. I surrender. Fill me with you and no longer me. And I'd like to end with an illustration. Some of you have heard it because you've been around. Some of you have never heard it. So here we go. We lived in the university district by the University of Washington. We chose to live there, my wife and I. We wanted to live right there. We started ministries on the campuses at the UW, at SPU, North Seattle Community College, Shoreline, Bible studies. We were a Bible club. We had guest speakers. Like, I was in charge of bringing Walter Martin into the UW, into the hub there. It was huge back in those days, and other people. Because I wanted to present Christ. In our house, we had foreign exchange students and other students living with us. We rented a house on a corner right in Greek Row. Very few, if any, families were around. And I know that I had been lacking in my love for my wife. And God really convicted me to love her. Start loving her. Okay, got it. Well, I came home, and she was with the three girls, were gone. Out. She wasn't running away. And I just was determined, I've got to change. I've got to be just sweeter in my own strength and power. That's what I want to do. Show me what to do, and I'm on it. I want to be different. Well, I went upstairs while they were all gone, and I noticed the bathtub was plugged and clogged. The kids had baths, and there was little toys in the tub, and it was filled, and it was... And I was just so like, how could this be? We rent this house. I'm thinking of money and cost and talking to the landlord and everything like that. And then I said, no. Remember, be nice. And so I got a plunger, and I just was plunging as hard as I could. And there was no bloop, nothing. And then it was like, game's on. You're not going to beat me, tub. So now it's between me and the tub. This is how carnal I am. So I took my pants and rolled them up, shoes off. I was just going crazy. Come on. Sweating, everything. Nothing. I took the wooden-handed plunger, threw it against the wall. Stupid tub. And how could my wife do this? So then now my anger's going to the one that I'm supposed to love. And she came home, and I was not restrained like I should have been, and I just let all that emotion and anger build up. And it's just like, honey, how could you do this? Do what? How could you leave the tub and clog it up and all of that? She says, oh, really? She goes, you ever try to move that lever on the tub? You know, the one that lets the water out? What? I can't think of a better illustration regarding the Holy Spirit. You want to do God's work, and you're frustrated and mad and all the charge. And God says, did you just, like, move it down? Did you just Did you just try asking me? I'm there for you. Did you try just asking me? Amen. I pray that God would allow us to experience that fellowship with Him through His Word. Remember, the Holy Spirit points to the Word of God and to Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus, to His Word and to Jesus, so we can represent Him well. Amen? The greatest evidence is His love. We need His love now more than ever. So if you're lacking love, and I gave you a great illustration, an honest illustration, don't get frustrated. Just find that little lever. Just move your heart in the direction of God and watch what happens. If we can help you afterwards with prayer, please, we'd love to be available for that.